Okay, my apologies for switching the night of the shir. I apologize certainly to those who came last night. So the shul started a project learning Maseches Rosh Hashanah recently, and officially where we're supposed to be up to is Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. So I wanted to come up with something that somehow relates to Rosh Hashanah, but is still general enough that even if you're not learning Rosh Hashanah, would still be of some interest. So here's what we came up with. The topic of Yerusha in positions of Srara, in positions, let's say, of a rabbi. And this seems like an issue that doesn't really relate very, very much to our generation, because it's a non-issue in most of the Orthodox circles that we or others travel in, meaning most sections of the Orthodox community. Certainly in our communities, it's not even a hava mina that there would be a Yerusha, that there's always a search committee. If a rabbi retires, so the search committee gets together, and there typically is not really a Yerusha in Rabbanus. So in the Hasidic community, it's understood that there's either going to be a direct Yerusha if there's one son, and if there's more than one son and a son-in-law, there's going to be a machlokas, and that's just like it's understood that that's the way things work. I think Rav Stav from Keren B'Yavna once said that by Hasidim, when Hasidish Rebbe's are like potatoes, you put one in the ground and four pop out. So that was if you know Rav Stav, it's exactly Rav Stav. So the idea is something that may be somewhat foreign to us, but it's a fascinating topic in halacha. Now, the most interesting area to look at in this topic would literally take weeks to go through. The Avnei Nezer has a long kuntros, almost like a book size kuntros in the Tshuvas Avnei Nezer about this topic. It's like 40 pages in Avnei Nezer. And if you ever read Tshuvas of the Avnei Nezer, nothing the Avnei Nezer writes is ever simple. It's always with the Harifus, with the Lamdus. Avnei Nezer was a unique Hasidish Rebbe in that all he was interested in was Talmud Torah, meaning he didn't have much patience for like saying Tehillim and things like that. All he was interested in was Talmud Torah. He didn't have that many Hasidim when he was around because he had demands of his Hasidim. They had to be a big Talmud Chachamim, otherwise he wasn't interested in them. So he didn't even have. It was a very unique kind of Hasidish Rebbe. But the Avnei Nezer has this incredible mind and this incredible tshuva. We're not going to look at the tshuva at all. If I tried to print it out on the on these Mar Makomos, it would have taken, I don't know, 40 pages or so of Mar Makomos. We're not going to look at the Avnei Nezer at all, even though we're recognizing right at the outset that it is the tshuva on the topic. What does this topic have to do with Maseches Rosh Hashanah? So the Gemara says at the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, Dav Beis Amud Beis, the Gemara talks about the different Rosh Hashanahs that there are throughout the year, the four Rosh Hashanahs that there are, and the Gemara talks about how when they would date a shtar, they would count the Rosh Hashanah, they would count how many years since that king's reign has begun. And the Gemara says that sometimes a year can count for two different kings. If a king takes over in the middle of the year for another king, so that year will be the last year, let's say the 12th year of the previous king's reign, as well as the first year of the new king's reign. So the Gemara discusses that Rosh Hashanah l'Malachim is Echad ben Nisan. The Gemara later clarifies that that's only for Malchei Yisrael. But for Malchei Umas HaOlam, it's actually Echad B'Tishrei, because B'Tishrei Nivra HaOlam, at least if we assume B'Tishrei Nivra HaOlam, that the world was created in Tishrei, so Tishrei is the most critical time for Umos HaOlam, because there never was a Yetzias Mitzrayim for Umos HaOlam, there never was a Kabbalah Seder, there's no other major event to look at to say that all of the Umos HaOlam look at that as their starting point. Klal Yisrael has Rosh Chodesh Nisan as a starting point because that's when Gulas Mitzrayim occurred during Chodesh Nisan, so we use that as our starting point. But for a Jewish king, therefore, Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah. So says the Gemara, Meis Ba'adar Va'amad Acher Tachtav B'Nisan. Let's say a king dies in Chodesh Adar, and another king takes his place, but only in Chodesh Nisan. They go through some mourning period till they anoint a new king, and in Nisan a new king comes. Monin Rishon L'Rishon Ushni L'Sheni. So we count the first year for the first king, meaning the Adar of the previous year, that whole year counts for the previous king, and from Nisan and on, we count for the next king. Says Gemara, well, Pshita, isn't that obvious that that's what you're going to do? Of course. Gemara says, lo tricha, di'imnu alei me'adar, u'melech ben melechu. Now the case is, a king died, he had a son, and therefore the son, it was understood, it was a fait accompli, the son is obviously going to take over the father's position, and he just didn't actually rise to the throne until Nisan. So you might think that since it was already being discussed and it was already understood that the son is going to take over in Adar, that already in that Adar it should count for that king. That the Adar should count for the new king, for the son. Kamashmulan therefore tells us that it doesn't. Now, if you would have just read this Gemara, without anything further, the Achronim use this Gemara as a raya to something. Now, the discussion is going to be, does a position of Srara automatically pass on to the next generation? Do we make that assumption? Whether it's a king, whether it's a rabbi, whether it's a Kohen Gadol, whether it's discussion about a gabbai, a shliach tzibur is where it's really quoted in Shulchan Aruch, by rabbis and by shliach tzibur. You have a chazan who's been davening for that shul, he's the appointed chazan, not like someone who just happens to daven once in a while. An appointed chazan davens for that shul for years and years. He dies, his son, he's okay. You know, not great, not terrible. They could tolerate him, and he's an okay guy. He's a reasonable enough person. So does he automatically take over the chazanus, the shteller of chazanus in that shul? So in all of these situations, there's a discussion, and this Gemara comes up as one of the focal points of the discussion. So what would you derive from this Gemara? You see from this Gemara that yes or no? What would you tie that? That the son automatically takes over, the son doesn't take over.
It's telling you that it's talking about a situation when it happens. It doesn't mean that it always happens. It's saying that this happens.
So you're anticipating that what you're supposed to see in this Gemara, what you're supposed to see in this Gemara is that yeah, the son takes over because you see the son is taking over. But you're saying it's not a raya. It's saying that if there were a situation where the son would be taking over, but it's not necessarily right, and therefore you're saying it doesn't lead you anywhere. That this Gemara, if it were to lead you anywhere, it would have been that he does take over, you're saying. But it doesn't. We don't have any raya brura. Anyone see the other side in this Gemara? That this Gemara is telling you that a son is not an automatic?
Yeah, because otherwise you start counting an Adar.
So what?
You start counting an Adar.
If he automatically took over, right? Then why? Then the maskana of the Gemara la halacha would be incorrect, right? If it was an automatic, how does Yerusha work? Person dies, and the Yerusha goes. It goes to Yerusha if he has only one child, let's say. So there's no tfisas habayis where the Yerusha just sort of sits in the estate until it's divided, and then you have to get into Brera. Let's say there's just one child, and it just goes straight to that child. So it goes. The man dies; it belongs to the child. So if the Malchus went by Yerusha, it would belong to the child immediately in Adar, and that would be it. That would be the end of the story. The fact that it's not the end of the story maybe tells you that it's not automatic. You wanted to say something else?
Well, it seems that the Gemara is listing two factors here. One is that Imnu, and one is Melech ben Melech. So how are these two factors working together? Are they working together? Is it only focusing on one?
Meaning, if he's a Melech ben Melech, why do you need?
Right, exactly.
So that would also lead us in the direction of saying that it's not automatic, because apparently even though he's a melech ben melech, but then the question becomes, if it's not automatic, of what consequence is it that he's a melech ben melech? Meaning, if it's not automatic, he needs to be appointed, right? So it's not abundantly clear. Good, so this, we're going to have to see how to deal with this Gemara. Let's take a look at how the Rambam passes. Rambam, Nuchz, Melachim, Perek, Alev, Alech, Zayin. Actually, it's better to look at the second Rambam first. The Rambam, Klei, Migdash, Perek, Dalin, Alech, Chaf. Kishe Yomus HaMelech, O Kohen Gadol, O Echad Mishar HaMunim. So right off the bat, the Rambam makes clear something that is certainly debatable, and that is that this discussion is not limited to a Melech, nor is it limited to a Melech and Kohen Gadol. It's anything. Anything that is a mimuna, anything that a person has to be appointed to a position, that's going to be subject to this discussion. Ma'amidin tachtav bino, o haro'i liyorsho. Wow, second great chiddush of the Rambam. What's the second great chiddush? That it's not only a din in a son, it's a din in ro'i liyorsho. L'rabos what? What does that mean? What's a ro'i liyorsho? Who would that be if not a son? So, a daughter? So, hard to imagine, not a Kohen Gadol, obviously. Melech? Would a Melech go to a daughter? So, there's a Minchas Chinuch that actually says yes. Generally speaking, we assume no, because the Chazal have a drasha, Som Tasim Alecha Melech, and the Gemara Sanhedrin has a drasha, Melech Velo Malka, that there's no such thing as a queen in Judaism. There's no such position. There's someone who's married to a king, but there's...
Son-in-law?
Would a son-in-law be... Before that, you'd have brother, you'd have... Right, other grandson, perhaps. Right, you'd have other people. Meaning, you got to learn the eighth parak of Abbasra and figure it out and see where Roy Liarsho goes. It happens in Minchas Chinuch has this amazing chiddush. Som tasim alecha melech velo malka is a legitimate drasha. He says we paskin that way, but that's only a din in som tasim. That when you appoint a melech velo malka. But if it doesn't require an appointment, such as when the king dies and it automatically goes to Yerusha, then you don't need a drasha melech, but then there's no drasha melech velo malka, then a female can be the king. What we would call a queen, right? You could have a female malka. You can have a female who has the status of a melech. So it's not clear that's what the Rambam's saying, but he's saying you have to learn Dina Yerusha, which is a very important chiddush of the Rambam, because from the Gemara you just see that there is such a thing of malchus going from father to son. Does that necessarily mean it's a din of Yerusha? Not everything that goes from father to child is a din of Yerusha. For example, there's a din by Eved, the Gemara in Kiddushin discusses, called Kam Tachta, that if the, by an Eved Ivri specifically, if it's still the middle of his years of, an Eved Kanani goes by Yerusha. Right, if a man dies, a master dies, the Eved Kanani goes to Yerusha, and that means even if he doesn't have any sons, it'll go to his daughters. If he doesn't have sons or daughters, it'll go to whatever the next closest Yorish is. An Eved Ivri, in the middle of his years of service, there's a din of Kam Tachtav. Kam Tachtav is only a din in the son. That the son is Kam Tachas Aviv, that he takes the place of the father. But it's not a din in Yerusha. All the other halachos of Yerusha don't apply by an Eved Ivri. Never, he doesn't go be Yerusha. He goes free if the master dies and there's no son to become Tachtav. So if that's the case, I would have thought that we do have a model to follow for a son taking the place of the father, and this would seem to mirror that much more than Yerusha, that the son takes over for the father, the Malchus. So I would have thought that's the way this din works. But the Rambam's telling us, no, it's a din of Yerusha. And whatever goes along with dinim of Yerusha. So remember, Yerusha is automatic. Yerusha can go to any number of relatives. So the Rambam seems to be saying it's the din of Yerusha because it goes to either the son or Roy Liarsha.
It could mean somebody fit to, like Moshe and Yoshua. So it could be just somebody that's fit to be.
The reason I'll tell you no is because he's going to get to that. Yeah. Meaning he's going to, let's see. The kolakodem lenachla kodem lisraros hames. Anyone, and there it's explicit, anyone is kodem lenachla, meaning he says literally, you got to look at Dina Yerusha, so he'll get the first dibs on the Srarus. V'hu shehiya memali makomo b'chachma, but he has to be memali makomo b'chachma, he has to be as wise as the, and that, you know, therein lies every controversy and every machlokas, and, you know, I am a smart, no, you're not a smart, you know, so you're not going to resolve that easily. Oh, biyira, even more difficult to resolve, or he has as much yira shemayim. Afal pi she'inu kamosu b'chachma, if he has the same yira, even though he doesn't have the same chachma, shenemar b'melechu banav b'kerav Yisrael. Melamit sha'malchus Yerushahu, so we see from there that it's a malchus goes b'Yerusha, v'hu hadin l'kol srara sh'b'kerav Yisrael, sh'azoch l'zoch l'atma l'zarem. That when you get a position of Srara, it's not just yours, it's yours and your children's. It goes on for future generations. Just like if you are a Kohen, you pass that down to your children. If you're lucky enough to be appointed the Gabbai of a Shul, it goes to your children after you. That's how the Rambam seems to be saying. Now let me ask you something. Are Chachma and Yira the two qualifications that he identifies in order to be able to take the father's position? Are those equally important? Is one more important than the other? Is one important and the other not important at all? I mean, and why don't you need both? Right, the Rambam is saying you don't, he says, Malim kol b'chachma, o b'yira afal b'she'enu k'mosu b'chachma. So does that mean chachma afal b'she'enu b'yira and yira afal b'she'enu b'chachma? That if you have one or the other, you either have dad's Yerushamayim or you have dad's Chachma. No one's going to be like the father. But you have some element. It's like Talmidim of Rav Soloveitchik. No one is quite Rav Soloveitchik. This one, was a philosopher. The truth is, no one was like him on any of the things that he was. But this one is a London. This one is a philosopher. This one. So everyone has some characteristic that they took. So is he saying either or? I'm pretty sure he's not, and we'll see. It's clear in the other Rambam that he's not, but even in this Rambam, it's clear that he's not saying either or. Well, why is he not saying either or? Because if he was saying either or, then it should be Chachma Afal Pishein Kamoso Be Yira, and Yira Afal Pishein Kamoso Be Chachma. But he says you have to be Malim Kamo Be Chachma. Oh, Be Yira Afal Pishein Kamoso Be Chachma. So what does that mean, though? If you are a chacham like your father, so does that mean you're not an automatic? You don't take the father's position? So then of what value is the chachma to begin with? So this Rambam is very cryptically written, and it's interesting, in Poskim they quote this Rambam, not the Rambam that's so much clearer. The Rambam Hilchos Melachim Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin is much clearer in terms of what he means. And I think, Divrei Torah Aniyim v'makom Acher, Ashirim v'makom Acher. In the previous Mar Makom, the Rambam writes, Kishamamidim HaMelech Moshe Nosa B'Shem Namishcha, Shem Rav Yikach Shmuel Aspach HaShem Nitzak Al Rosh HaMishcha. Fine, he tells us how they would do it. U'me'achar Shemoshchan HaMelech HaReza Zochalo U'Lebanav Ad Olam. It goes to him, to his children forever. Shamalchis Yerusha, Shnermer Laman, Yaruch Yomel Namlach, Lohu Banav Bekerav Yisrael. Hiniach ben katan. So the Rambam says, what if you have a practical problem? King dies, and his child is 3 years old. So mishamer lo hamelucha shiyagdil. You have an interim king till the kid is ready. Kimosha asa Yehoyada liyoash. The kala kodem benachla kodem liyerushas hamelucha. Same rule. Vaben hagadol kodem lekatan mimenu. The older son comes before the younger son. Now that's interesting, because that's not the din in Yerusha. What's the din in Yerusha? That the oldest son gets pishnayim, but everyone gets a piece, right? The din of Yerusha is the potato mashal, really, is that four should pop out, that everyone should get something that started chasidus. There used to be a Boston or Rebbe, now there's one there, one here, one in North Woodmere soon, whatever, you'll have Boston Rebbe. Yeah. So that's the way Yerusha works, but that's not what he said. But the Malchus can't work that way, because the split of Malchus is a national tragedy. So Malchus obviously doesn't work. There has to be a way of determining who it's going to be. V'lo Malchus b'lvad, ela kol hasraros v'kol aminuin shev Yisrael Yerusha l'beno l'ben b'no ad olam. Now, here he says, here's what you need. V'hu shiyah ben memali makam avosav b'chachmo b'yera. The child has to be b'chachmo b'yera like his father. If he's not, we'll find someone else. That's what it sounds like. That this din of Yerusha is Yerusha that's contingent on something. We don't have this in Dina. So we have a few differences between Dina and Yerusha. First of all, it can only go to one person, as opposed to Yerusha gets divided. Second of all, he says, you don't have to deserve Yerusha. Yerusha just happens. You have to deserve this. How do we define deserving it? Chachma and Yira. But he elaborates. If the kid has the Yira Shemayim of the father but not the Chachma, Chachma can be taught. So give him the job, we'll coach him. We'll give him whatever Chachma needs. We'll give him a nice support staff, whatever it takes to teach him the ropes. V'kol mi she'in bo Yira Shemayim, af al pi she'chachmaso meruba, ein memanamoso lemina min amanuin shav Yisrael. But if he has Yerushamayim, even though he has all the Chachma in the world, he's automatically possible. So if you're automatically possible without Yira, and when you have Yira but no Chachma, you're going to get the job anyway, what role does Chachma play? Right? I mean, the Rambam is leaving that very unclear. He's very clear that Chachma alone will never get you the job, and that Yira alone should get you the job, and will supplement the Chachma by educating the person. But it's not at all clear what value there is in Chachma for him to take over. Maybe on the heels of the statement that you give it to a gadol before a katan, maybe what the Rambam's trying to tell us is, when all else is equal, you give it to a gadol before a katan. But we also need qualifications over here. So if the Katan is Chachma and Yira, and the Gadol is only Yira but no Chachma, why would we rely on teaching him if you could just give it to the younger kid and the younger kid knows, already has all the qualities? Maybe, but the Rambam doesn't say that either. I'm just, it's conjecture. You have to say some shot in the Rambam. I'm just suggesting maybe that's what the Rambam might be telling us in that passage. But in any event, that passage is certainly much more elaborate than the other passage in the Rambam. Now, the Chassam Sofer says Rambam's very nice, but he's against the Gemara. Because the Rambam's assuming that all these things, all areas of Sarara, including being a Melech, goes by Yerusha. And the Gemara is clear that that's not the case. Why is it clear that that's not the case? So the Chassam Sofer writes in source number 4, first of all, it's interesting. I underlined at the beginning of the tshuva, someone asked the Chassam Sofer, you know, we have this whole machlokas here. This is what I hold. People are telling me I'm wrong, but here's why I hold what I hold, so tell me I'm right. That's essentially a summary of the first paragraph. So Chassam Sofer says, he says, I can't answer. You want me to answer a dispute when I only hear one side of the dispute? That's totally irresponsible. A lot of rabbis get that wrong. A lot of times people will come with like choshev mishpat questions. I had this dispute with this other person, and he says this, and I say this. There should be no answer forthcoming to such a question. You could say, you know, it sounds like it would be a reasonable din Torah for you to have, but you can't answer one side before, because what happens, I've been on the other side of this, what happens is a person gets his answer, my rabbi is a big Talmud Chacham, and he said I'm right. Yeah, but he never heard the other side of the story, so he heard one side of the story. So then the person just digs their heels deeper, you know, and if you try to argue, you don't know what you're talking about. My rabbi is a big Talmud Chacham. And he's right. His rabbi is a big Talmud Chacham. But you can't answer if you haven't heard both sides of the dispute. It's a very critical thing for people to be aware of and for Rabbanim to be aware of. But then he writes, but, you know, you want me to explain the sugya to you, so I'll explain the sugya to you. So he quotes our Rambam, Menuchas Melachim, and then he writes in the next underlined section, L'chor tzarachim k'tzas mishas reish hashana. Our Gemara, that he's a Melech ben Melech, and they already have Imnu Alei, whatever that means, they were talking about him in Adar, and he didn't actually take office until Nisan. So the Gemara's maskana is that we only count as if he had taken office in Nisan, not in Adar. But it sounds like there's Imnu Alei, that there's some discussion, right? That you have to, it doesn't happen automatically. It's like Rabbi Lubetzky was medayik from the Gemara over there, that there's got to be some minyan. V'afilu minyan lo mahani lei ad dekam benisan. And even Imnu Alei doesn't work until it doesn't count as anything until he actually takes office. It should happen automatically if it's a Yerusha, because after all, Yerusha happens automatically. I think the answer is obvious once we saw the actual Rambams. Right? His kasha is, the Gemara says that he's not officially the king till he sits on the throne, even if there have been discussions, and there has to be some sort of appointment, but that appointment is not enough. But you see from the Gemara, A, that there has to be an appointment, and B, that that appointment is not even enough. So you see that it's not a Yerusha, because Yerusha happens automatically. Right? That's the kasha on the Rambam. So how could the Rambam call it a Yerusha? So what's the answer? The Rambam had said it's a Yerusha, but as soon as you say it's a Yerusha, but, so then you just figure out what are the exceptions to when it works as a Yerusha, and plug it in. So what are the exceptions? We had two exceptions. First of all, if you're a younger child, you would get a Yerusha, but you're not going to become the Melech. Okay, that's not going to help us over here, because this Melech ben Melech is the one who is becoming the Melech. But what was the other exception? You also need to be qualified. How do we define qualified? Chachma is ideal. Yira is critical to define who's qualified. How are you going to figure that out? The king dies. All of a sudden, they're scrambling. He died suddenly. They weren't. So they're scrambling now. They hadn't even thought about the line of succession. And now they have to look at the kids and they have to see, well, do they have what it takes? So that doesn't happen automatically. Yerusha, you're right, normally happens automatically. But it can't happen automatically when there's an assessment that needs to be done. So that's what some silver answers. Obviously, it's not really Yerusha because Yerusha is automatic. She says, by the Malchim Masalam, sure, no problem. King dies. The child is going to take over no matter what. He could run the country into the ground. It's fine. But he was born into it and he's going to be the next Melech. Doesn't make a difference. But Malchim Yisrael Eino came. Shanachla Eino Shalo Rakakise Yagdil. It's not his. It's the position that's supposed to lift him up. Vimamali Makom Avosa V'roy Lekach. When the child is worthy of being a reasonable king, a reasonably good king, then even if there are more qualified candidates, he takes the job. But if he's not, then someone else is going to have to come. He says, that's the whole minoy. That's the role of the minoy over here. The manin leve adar means we start figuring it out in adar. But it's, nothing's final until he actually takes the throne. So the assessment that we're doing is not going to be considered the beginning of his malchus. But still, things do go b'Yerusha, meaning what we do get from the Gemara in the end says the Chasam Sofer is that malchus does go b'Yerusha. It's just the Yerusha with some patience.
It's the right to the first evaluation.
Right. Right. Correct. And even if the evaluation reveals that he's not the most qualified candidate, as long as he's a qualified candidate, that's good enough.
Right? It sounds like once the evaluation is done, so the Yerusha should kick in.
Right. Why do we wait until he actually...
It doesn't answer for the Gemara.
Right. Unless you say that you need some moment.
Installation.
Right. Meaning there's got to... Either the moment's going to be Shas Misa, because what's it? There's no like psak din. There's no. There needs to be. I mean, there's no mechanism for a moment of minoy for the chalos shei melech. Meaning his whole status changes. He has a whole new set of halachos.
Whatever the minoy means, the Gemara says that it happens in Adar.
That means they came to the decision that he's going to be it.
Right. So
but that decision, I don't know if that decision has a defined.
I understood it just like a Gila Milsa Lamafreya. I mean, it just clarifies that this guy was actually the right guy the whole time.
So what do you do with the Rambam? What do you do with the Gemara? Meaning the Rambam is then against the Gemara.
Okay. The Chasam Sofer doesn't really. Meaning it doesn't answer the question.
Well, he's suggesting that it does.
Right.
But you're saying it doesn't because then he should have become the king. Right away, as soon as they decided, because it should be it's Yerusha that's just being held back. Once you remove the impediment, the Yerusha should be chal, or even Huvar Adav LeMafreya that it was chal,
right?
And that's against the Maskana of the Gemara.
Right.
Unless it's not against the Maskana of the Gemara, maybe he does have the status of Melech, but you're not going to write that in Shtaros, because in Shtaros it's about a public face taking on the public face of the Melech. That you're going to say it's the first year of his reign. What? He wasn't even doing anything then. Oh, but it was a glowing missile in my friend. But he wasn't there.
Right.
So it could be that in terms of status, it doesn't depend on the actual...
And you had Nash's kid was a terrible person also. So what happened there? There was no evaluation or did it automatically happen? There were a bunch of kings who in a row were terrible.
Certainly if you learn Navi, the things didn't work ideally at all times. I think that's... there are people that forced their way in, there are people that, you know, there are people that were intimidating, there were people that were good and went bad, you know, there are...
But all the halachos of Malachim went along with that, with those...
It should have been operating with the dinim of Melech, but obviously things didn't operate as, you know, in practice as they do on paper as the Rambam's writing.
What I mean to say is, if there was an evil king and you were Mori B'malach,
no, he's still a Melech.
He's still a Melech. So everything
right.
he inherited.
Right. He's not saying that this is Ma'akev is Malchus.
Right.
I mean, we're saying our mitzvah of appointing the right guy, this is how to go about doing it. And if it's a Melech ben Melech, then it doesn't need a whole Mashiach and everything. You don't even need to, right? You don't need to anoint a Melech ben Melech. He says that that's why, and the Chasam Sofer actually addresses the Rechavam situation, he writes in the next paragraph, Bezek Safti Begulian Shas Shali Besota Memalva Ambez Tosos, Bemashin Eskasha, Rav Besef Bereshevu, Bemayin Chachma, Eich Humlach Rechavam Ben Shlomov Lohoisa Imo Mi Yisrael. If there was ever anyone that was unqualified, right? Rechavam Ben Shlomo Lohoisa Imo Mi Yisrael Shaisa Nama Haamonis. And even if she converted me, you need to have someone who's from the choicest of Jews. In terms of yichus, he says that's only a din in sima, very similar to the minchas chinuch svar about a female, right? That we lower the standards when we don't need to do an actual sima, when it goes from melech to son. V'ainu som tas melech v'melech mikar v'checha. V'al derech marshal, anachnu samnu aleinu david melech Yisrael mimuvcha shebachenu, v'ein bo dofi, v'shuv zachu, v'kol ban v'achar, v'at sof adoros. Oblivat, she mali makam of aseim. As long as they're mali makam of aseim. How do you define that? Chachma, yira. That's it. So that's all they need. They no longer need the yichus anymore, because they have the father who yarshened it for them for all future generations. Then the Chassam Sofer, I realize this whole shiur is turning into just one Chassam Sofer, but the Chassam Sofer then goes on to say, let's analyze how this applies to everything else. Meaning Melech is not really our issue right now. Unfortunately, we're not yet at a system of having a Melech be Yisrael, although we certainly daven every day for the return of the Malchus Beis David. You often wonder, like, you know, with our Western sensibilities, that we don't relate well to the concept of Melech. I was involved in a conversation once where Asher Weiss was talking about some of these ideas. Like, do we want Eved Kanani to come back? Like, do we believe in that? So do we want to have forget Eved Ivri. Eved Ivri, fine, he's just a worker. But you want an Eved Kanani? The Rambam should own the person? Is that something? And Rav Asher was like, he's like, no. He thought that, you know, the world moves forward, and we're not going to do it. Why would you take an Eved Kanani? We wouldn't. Which I thought was very interesting, because I don't know. It seemed like he was really being guided by our Western sensibilities rather than. Okay, but that's a different discussion for a different time. Much more interesting discussion, by the way, but a different discussion for a different time. So the Chassam Sofer then says, but let's take a look at other positions of authority. So in the paragraph begins Va'anir Lani Estaiti. He writes that in the Gemara in Yuma, in Beis on Beis, the Gemara has a pasuk that a Kohen Gadol's son takes over for him. So asks Chassam Sofer, why do I need a pasuk? Every position of Sarara, the child takes over. Why do I need a pasuk specifically by a Kohen Gadol? You have by a melech, the way the Rambam understands it, it's not only a melech, it's every position of minui, kol minui shall be Yisrael, so Kohen Gadol's any different? Lomeli krami yuchal the Kohen Gadol. And he says, furthermore, in the third line of that paragraph, the Sudamrin the Mashiach Muhammad ain't beno kam tachtav. There are several Kohanim Gedolim. One of them is what we call the Kohen Mashiach Muhammad. The 8th Perek of Masechet Sot is all about that guy. He's the one that rallies up the troops and gets everyone excited to go to war. His son doesn't take over for him. Well, why not? If all Menuyin go to the son, why wouldn't his son take over for him? That Mashiach Muhammad. So there, here's where he says his Chiddush. El al korchach muchach mizeh. Delo nemer davrzeh el abimelech uchadom lo. There are specific minuyim that this applies to. Tosos quotes from Yerushalmi, Shotrei Arabim, Gabai Tzedaka, Sofrei Hayadayanim, Makin Beretzuos. Those minuyim, the son takes over. Avol kol minuyei kedusha, einan bechlal zeh. He's making an important distinction. When it's a position where it's a political position, it's a position where it's a position of power, of force, you know, the Makin Beretzuos, the Gabet Stuck, someone who's in control of tzedakah funds, it's a powerful position to be in, to determine where tzedakah funds are going to go. Then we say that a son takes over for a father. When it comes to Torah, we can't sell out. Which is remarkable, because we're saying that we can sell out those other things to an extent. Meaning, if he's utterly unqualified, then forget about it. But he doesn't have to be the best man for the job to be the Gabbai Tzedakah. But you have to be the best man for the job to be in a position for Kedusha. So what does this answer? It answers why I need a pasuk for Kohen Gadol, because Kohen Gadol is Kedusha. It answers why Kohen Mashiach Muhammad does not go Birusha, because that's Kedusha. What about a rabbi? I mean, this is where it really all comes down. All of the shilas were about rabbis, pretty much. So which category does rabbi go into? So one might say it depends on the shul. You know, it depends on the community. Some rabbis are primarily poskim and teachers of Torah. So that probably is Kedusha. Some rabbis are primarily therapists. Some rabbis are primarily social workers. You know, some rabbis are primarily politicians. I'm not saying that in a negative way at all. That's the job. That's what they're hired to do. So it may depend on what the situation is. And it would turn out that, you know, the rabbi who wants to say, the guy who wants to say, I should inherit my father's position, it's his way of saying it's not really about Kedusha or Torah at all. It comes out like, he may want to argue, you know, I'm such a holy Jew, I want to, but by definition, if you're accepting the Chassam Sofer's argument at least, the argument only works if he's saying it's not really a position of Kedusha, because the position of Kedusha can't go be Yerusha. Then the Chassam Sofer sort of backtracks a little bit in the following Shuvah, but before we even get to the following Shuvah, he points out a raya to this idea from the Marash Dam. Marash Dam has a tshuva where he says, and I'll say it outside, the Gemara in Yuma tells us, famous Gemara, Shloshak Sarim Heim, Kesar Malchus Kuhuna Morishim Lebnehem. The Kesar Malchus Kesar Kuhuna, father to son. It goes to the children. Aval Kesar Torah Hefkerhu. Kesar Torah, that's Hefker, and anyone could come and take it. So why should we be Mafker Kesar Torah? Shouldn't it be Menuyin? Shouldn't it work by some... It's an appointment, so shouldn't it go to the child? Says Marash Dam. No, that Torah is Kedusha. Kesar Malchus, Kesar Kuhuna, that's not purely a situation of Kedusha. And then he brings a raya in the last paragraph from a Medrash. A Medrash in Parshas Pinchas. The Medrash tells us, L'man Yishmu Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael, Yifko Delker Haruchos, Shei Moshe Sover Shabon of Yorshe Mekomo. The Medrash talks about Moshe Rabbeinu's struggle. Moshe Rabbeinu thinking that he's gonna, when his time is up, he has sons, it's not that he doesn't have, that they should be Yorishim. V'notam Saraso. Omla Kodesh Baruch Hu lo kamo shata savur. Harbe Sharasko Yoshua v'harbe chalik l'chakavod v'hu parisas makslos no tzarteinu yochel piria. The Medrash says, your sons are who they are, and they're fine. Yoshua deserves it. Who cares that Yoshua deserves it? His sons are fine. All you need to be is fine. Right? That was the Rambam's psak. You need to be okay. You don't need to be great. So why should it go to the most qualified person? So he says, "Nei Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Hashalom ba'atzmu amar asher yatzal lefneim asher yavol lefneim asher yochal la'amod neged ruach kolach avechad k'mor bedrash v'in lo yodeh b'vanav kalei lo amidos lo yimvakesh lam gedula." Moshe Rabbeinu himself knew what qualifications would be necessary to lead the Jewish people. He knew it needs to be someone of deep understanding, someone who understands how different people operate. He knew what it takes, and he still thought it should go to his children. Obviously, his children were not totally unqualified; they were obviously capable. But still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Yeshua is more ra'ui. So what? Because it's a position of Kedusha. And Kedusha goes to the most qualified person. That's Chassam Sofer's position. Not everyone agrees with this position at all. In fact, you have a lot of pushback on this, and the Chassam Sofer even sort of himself pulls back in the very next tshuva. In Or HaChaim Siman Yud Gimel, the Chassam Sofer writes that nowadays, Rabbanus is not really Kedusha. That there's a lot of other things that go into Rabbanus. You're doing, you're organizing a lot of chesed, you're doing a lot of other things that go into Rabbanus. It's not really purely Kedusha. Kedusha meaning, I think, Torah, meaning teacher of Torah and a posek. Like the Avnei Nezer's Rabbanus was purely Kedusha. He was a teacher of Torah and he was a posek. That was all he was in. I mentioned before, I was just listening to Rav Moshe Weinberger doing, like in 1996 or something, he did a series of biographies on Hasidic Rebbes. And a couple of years ago, YU uploaded all of his all the old tapes that they had of Moshe Weinberg. So, I don't know how I came across it, but I was listening to this thing on the Avnei Nezer. So the Avnei Nezer made a t'nai that he never wanted to be a Hasidic Rebbe. He knew he would one day have to be when anyone else who was more qualified than him was no longer alive. So he agreed to be, but only al t'nai that he could be a posek and a Rosh Hashiva. That's what he really wanted to be, and it comes across in his writing. But anyway, so the Chassam Sofer says nowadays not so much a kedusha. Why do you have to say this? The Rama in Yeridaya discusses what to do with a rabbi. The Rama in source number 6, Misha huchzak l'rav be'ir, afilu huchzak ba'atma be'zasrara. Amazingly, the Rama says, I don't care how he became the rabbi. It doesn't make a difference. Even if it's hichzik me'atzmo. Ein lahurido migdulaso, afal pisha balisham acher gadol mimenu. A more qualified candidate can come along, you don't fire the first guy. Afilu b'no uben b'no liolam kodmin le'acherim. And his children also get it. Kol zman shem malamakom avaseim b'yira, v'yem chamuk tzah. So what's he talking about? Simin reish mem hei in Yeridaya is halachos of Talmud Torah. We're talking about positions of Torah. So, b'makom sheish minig kabel rav is mankatz, fine. So he says, but if there's a minig where there's a contract and the time is up and you don't really have it forever, so you have to follow the minig. But absent any minig, absent any statement, any clear statement otherwise, the assumption is that it continues to go on to the children. That's the
what's the reason for this? Did they say a reason for
this? So what would be the svara? So they do say, the poskim do discuss. I'm trying to remember which one so we could see inside. I'm not sure which one. I think I recall seeing that someone who grows up with it is by definition just more, he'll know how to roll with different situations. There will be nothing that will surprise him. I see this a lot, I have a lot of friends who are in Rabbanus whose fathers were in Rabbanus as well, and there are certain situations that like shock me, that they're like, yeah, these things happen, they've seen it before, and they're like, we'll tell you, speak to this guy, speak to that guy, they'll deal with it. So it could be that there's just a certain know-how that comes with it, but I'm not sure. It sounds like it could be that it's exerts a custom, that it's just that's the way it's supposed to. Right, meaning if you put yourself in the medieval mindset, the chiddush is that he needs to be qualified at all, right? The chiddush is not that it goes to the child. That may be true. The poskim, the other places comes up mufurish and shulchan aruch is by a shliach tzibur, and that's in source number 9. The Rama writes shatz shehidskin. If a shliach tzibur gets old and he wants his son to help him out. This happens a lot. I know someone very well who's a very nice shliach tzibur. He doesn't have the koach anymore. He can't carry the load on his own. So he has his son like do a significant part of the heavy lifting during the singing on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So afal pi the lam bezas shein kol b'no oriv kekolo. Even though the son doesn't have as great a voice as he does, im mali makom b'shar dvarim b'no kodem l'kol adam. The son would be able to take that position. The tzibur can't say anything about it. It's interesting, if you look through the qualities necessary for a shliach tzibur, nice voice is the lowest one on the list of qualities that we look for. It is a quality, it's something, but it's the lowest one on the list of qualities you need in a shliach tzibur. You want someone who's Yirei Shemaim, you want someone who's a little bit, who's not a kid, you want someone who has a lot of different qualities, but if he's Zain Kolar, it would go to the son. That's the assumption that we have. The discussion comes up in Poskim in a couple of other places. We're out of time, but it comes up when it comes to Gabaus. That Gabaus is, there's a whole debate in Poskim, is Gabaus a position of, so the word Gabai meant different things to different people. Some people meant the guy who arranges the chairs in the shul and makes sure that there are enough candles and makes sure that, and to some it meant the guy who decides on the kibudim. So those who understand that it's the guy who decides on the kibudim understand that it is a srara, and therefore it would be a position that a person keeps and that a person even gives over to his son, unless it was stated explicitly otherwise at the time of his position, which in many shuls they have a setup where it is explicit otherwise at the time of his position, that it's to your position or whatever. But if it's not explicit, then it's his to keep. And his children's after him, assuming he has a son. Okay. All right. I'll leave it for tonight.